What do you record? Jamming.
What do you play, or when you play?
So I haven't really done much proper audio recording recently. So I feel like a bit of a imposter for saying it, but like I've done a lot of recording in the past for friends. Friends will come over. I'll produce a track for them, or I might sing in something. I might play guitar. I might do a duo. Acoustic and singing with Ali, and we'll record that. My mum might come over and she might do like an old Umm Kulthum song from, you know, the Egyptian lady. And like over time, I've just used it for a lot of things. We might record a podcast in there and like, yeah, so it was used for that. But then I would also use it to practice if friends come over and like being in different bands and whatever. We'll use that as a practice room. If people come over and they just want to hang out, I've got a TV that I can hook up so that whatever I can see on my monitor, they can see, they can sit back, there's recliners,
yeah.
They can just chill out. It's lava lamps, there's a UV light, there's a star thing on the ceiling, there's soundproofing so Ali can go to bed and we can still hang out. It multi-purpose, you know?
Yeah.
I went to school for audio production.
Where'd you go?
Box Hill.
Oh, okay, cool.
And never actually got into it as a career because I just didn't like it. So I ended up actually dropping out after 4 years.
What did you actually study, like audio production, audio engineering?
I went into it as a Bachelor's of Applied Music, majoring in audio production.
Okay.
And then halfway through, 2 years in, they said, we're introducing a new degree if enough people go into it. Bachelor's of Sound Production, just dedicated. Because in applied music, you have to do performance as well. You have to learn theory, all that.
Yeah.
Like, we're just doing a dedicated degree just for audio.
I did audio engineering at SAE. I did a diploma in, I think it was, I'm testing my memory now, mate, because I graduated in 07. So, it was like, I think it was sound engineering technical production.
Yep.
You didn't have to learn musical theory or anything like that.
Yep.
It was all about being in a studio, techniques.
That was the second degree that I went into. And I actually almost went to SAE and I ended up not going I can't remember exactly why, but I just ended up not going. And JMC as well.
JMC was the other one that I went to.
They were super fancy, but their courses were like really expensive.
Well, back in those days when you had paper money, I spent $12,500 in 2005. So, I mean,
I think I spent maybe close to 55,
but
like in 2014.
How old were you in 2014?
I was 18.
18?
Yeah.
Did you have to pay it up front?
No.
Hex.
It's all hex, yeah.
I didn't have hex.
It's still there.
SAE was not hex recognized. Oh, yeah.
No,
it's a private institution.
You had to pay it up front, didn't you?
I had to turn up. I had to find $12,500.
How'd you do that?
As a 20-year-old.
How?
And pay.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Stand on the corner for a while?
No, I hustled my fucking ass off.
Sure.
I turn up, and then they were fucking us on, like, studio availability equipment. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
And I made an official complaint or something. I fucking made a noise. I don't know what it was. Yeah. So, they've called me into the office of, like, the director with, like, my mate, like, you know, trying to ping me on it. And he's like, by the way, I've noticed your fees haven't been paid. I go, fuck off. I said, go check your files again, mate.
Wow, they brought that up.
I was literally the only one in the class that had paid in full cash, like, at the start of the course. Okay, you might be thinking of someone else, bro. Not on me, mate.
I don't know how you did that. I didn't have $12 when I was 20.
I'm still broke. Clearly, it was a sound investment. You know what I mean?
Very sound.
Is this?
Yeah.
It's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it sort of annoys me now when people complain about hex. It's like, hex a hex, but you have...
I don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I don't even consider it like...
Look, there's a few things in life that I don't actually complain about.
Mm.
A, paying rent or paying a mortgage, right?
Yeah.
For me, they're the same thing because you have to pay for someone to live.
Yep.
If you want a roof over your head, you got to pay for someone to live.
You're also paying for this country.
Yeah. Right? This country.
This whole country. you got to see it from a big perspective, otherwise you get depressed.
I'm 100%... on board with that.
Yeah.
Right? It's a responsibility. You want to be part of a society, you got to pay your way into it.
That's more what I mean, yeah.
And you got to pay for education, man.
Mm.
It's just a fact. We should be getting free education like the old farts did in the 80s and
I don't know about should. It'd be nice.
Well, they got all 3 degrees, man.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you had people.
It was nice.
What was his name? Turnbull? Turnbull, who was saying that we should be paying more for Hex, but he was one of the few that got like free education in the 70s and 80s.
Really?
Like, are you serious? You benefited from a Labor government that gave you...
Is Turnbull the current one?
Nah. He's the guy that was like a business-orientated liberal dude.
Oh, okay. Was he never prime minister?
He was.
Oh, he was.
Yeah. But he benefited from an education that was free from a Labor government.
Oh, good.
Then they increased fees when he got in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Interesting how that works. Look, I don't consider my Hex... It doesn't float above my head. I know some people do think about it and they go, I need to pay it off. And yeah, you do because it accrues interest. It takes out the interest before it does the thing every year. I don't understand how that works, but basically they fuck you over.
It's a grift.
They fuck you over.
It's the pyramid scheme you can never escape from.
Yeah, man. They do the thing before the thing, so that makes it so it's always the thing.
Yeah. was it Ponzi scheme where you have to find more people like a pyramid?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, your health. Yeah. So it was like... I definitely want to pay it off someday.
Yeah.
But it doesn't follow me like a cloud. I don't really care. And I'm actually okay with it. Like, I had a great time. I really did. For 4 years, I got to use all their studios, great equipment. I got to learn so much. Yeah. I actually made good friends. I had a great time. The teachers were great for the most part. Some of them were sort of just slacking off, but most of them were really passionate. And
it's a field like music, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where you generally have to be passionate you're going into it on whatever. Yeah. Like, you don't just become an Elvis impersonator because you fell into it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You grew the sideburns for a reason.
Yeah. Thanks.
You learned all the songs, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just like, it was a job. Like,
yeah.
Really?
Going to win this race. So... I really don't regret it, and yes, it was expensive. Yes, it would be nice for it to have been free, but I will never complain about it. I'll never complain about anything. I'll be honest. Like, if I catch myself complaining about something...
Why is that?
I feel like I'm on vacation, honestly, to this day.
Why is that?
After coming to Australia. Like,
okay.
Since 2006.
I didn't want to make an assumption that it happened. It had something to do with you migrating here.
But it's got everything.
All signs point to, you know.
It's got, and no one wants to hear that, and it's a shitty thing.
Really?
No, no one wants to hear it because they think, they internalize it how they want to internalize it, but I feel like most people, they see it as like, they start sitting with that thought within them and they start feeling guilty.
Now you said it. All right.
Storotoripes.
Storotoripes.
Storotoripes. Storotoripes.
Yeah, now you've said it.
Yeah.
All right, so hang on. Who feels guilty for anything that... I mean, if you bring up the comparison of the fact that you've migrated here from, a war-stricken country, who actually takes it and sits with it and feels guilty for it?
They feel guilty...
When you say they, who do you mean they?
Anyone that's born here that doesn't have an idea of what it's like outside of here, they feel guilty that they're not satisfied with their life, and then they hear that someone... is saying this is the best place on earth. I've been to a few places and this is the best place. It doesn't get any better than this. If you're not happy now, you will not be.
As in they struggle to comprehend that?
They half comprehend it at least and go, oh shit, like I've been here all my life, meaning it's been great the whole time.
But I'm miserable or unhappy.
So I'm miserable because your baseline is great.
Yeah, okay.
There's nowhere to go from
there.
Yeah,
I know. We say that we're spoiled for choice here in Melbourne, like especially Melbourne, out of all of Australia.
But not just for choice, but just like your
Shit is better than most countries.
You're safe.
Yeah.
You're safe. You don't actually have some sort of, I can't put it to words. It's like,
I bet you can do it in Arabic though. Yeah, 100% you can vocalize this in Arabic.
You don't have this
anxiety?
Yeah, but it's like a life-threatening anxiety.
Yeah, you don't have this fucking, what's it called? Like a dark cloud just hovering.
Your biggest worries are your biggest worries.
Yeah.
And they are, in comparison, not that big. And when I say this to someone, I say, I feel like I'm on vacation here and I will never complain. If I catch myself complaining, I'll slap myself in the face. They think that I'm saying you should slap yourself in the face. I'm not talking to them. I'm talking about myself when I'm talking like that.
You know, it's weird you're saying all this, man, because one thing, I can't believe it actually went to. I wrote something down.
Yeah.
Because one thing I mentioned in that text that you sent me when I talked about shit that I want, we could cover, right? Mm. You mentioned philosophy. You mentioned like shit like that, right? And I started thinking about the last week. I'm going through a transitional period right now, right?
Sure.
Where my employment's sort of up in the air, like I'm going to have to make a left or right sure. sort of, you know, turn. Where I'm living is going to change. I gave notice today on my property where I'm renting,
okay.
you know, so that's going to change. A lot of external factors.
Up in the air.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And like I'm turning 40 this year, so it's like you're looking at everything, you're weighing everything up.
Mm.
You're starting to take stock of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started thinking about what you just said, like as in your baseline, can someone be happy? And then we mentioned before about if you want to live in a society, there are certain things you have to adhere to.
Yeah.
Be part of a functioning society, yeah. right? People just want everything for nothing without having to do anything.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, it would. I don't know about you, man, but I'm at a point in my life now where I take a lot more notice from of the people that I talk to, people that I take advice from,
mm.
people that I entertain ideologies and discussion with.
Yep.
Truly because, I mean, like I'm a few years older than you, so when you get to say 40, you're mm. looking at people a bit more objectively, and it's just like, why am I listening to you, man?
Mm.
What have you done?
Yeah,
you know something. People that always I've heard like there's a lot of sayings from parents that have come out in the last month from people. One was life will remove people for you.
Yeah, right? Definitely.
The other one was look at your friends because you will become your friends,
mm-hmm.
and your friends will become you. The people that you're around 24/7, they're the people you're going to aspire to become or be aligning yourself with. So if they're doing shit, they're only going to drag you down to their level.
Yep.
Because that's your aspiration. That's your peak point. So I'm doing that a lot more, man. I'm looking objectively at people in my life.
Yeah.
And just saying, I don't need to align at this.
Like, yep.
You're fucked. Happy to sit here and have a beer with you and talk sports or whatever. Mm. But if you're going to start talking about life goals or opinion, political opinions, it's like, you don't aspire to do shit. Why the fuck would I be part of this conversation? Mm. Does that make sense?
It does.
So that's why it's interesting hearing you say this, man. Like, coming from here at 10, how old are you now?
28.
28, yeah. So, yeah. like, the majority of your life has been here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Which is why it's really hard to remind myself. Like, I try to do it often so that I don't, like, delude myself into thinking that I've always been here.
Man, I did a podcast with my mum last year, at the start of last year. Yeah, it was really weird. It was funny. I wanted to do
in Greek, yeah?
Yeah, mostly in Greek.
Yeah, I saw that one, but I didn't listen to it because it was in Greek.
A lot of people said to me, like, that don't speak Greek. Like, you need to bring it back in and actually do it. Because my mum's English is fine.
Oh, okay.
It's just out of habit. I think maybe because I need to remind myself. I talk to her in Greek.
Yes, yeah, me too. You know, I talk to my mum in Arabic too.
95% of the conversation with my mum is in Greek. If there's a word or something I'm struggling to, it's very rare that I can't express English, myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, we did it in Greek just because I figured we're talking about her roots and stuff, so it'd be easier for her.
Mm-hmm.
In hindsight, I probably should have done it in English.
No, it's probably best for her to express herself.
Yeah. And I got a bit of a backstory, which I hadn't, some of it I knew, a lot of it I hadn't actually heard.
Yeah.
So she's talking about her motivations to move here, why she left, what she saw, what she encountered, blah, 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 all that shit, right? Last year, she went to India for 2-3 weeks, right? Mm. And I've always wanted to go to India. Like, I've had a fascination since I was, like, grade two.
Really?
Yeah. Dude, we did in grade two, we did a project on India for, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is sick. I want to see the Taj Mahal. I want to go to Agra.
Sure.
All that shit, right? And my mum went. And she was FaceTiming me from, like, the hotel. I'm like, how you going? She goes, oh, the poverty, like, the dirt. Like, it's so fucking, like, you know, like, she wasn't criticizing, but she was just shocked that people lived in those conditions.
Third world.
And I said, yeah, well, okay, it's third world. Okay, what do you expect? She goes, well, that's the thing. She goes, you've been in the third world. I haven't. I'm like, yeah, that's true. And I thought about it. And I'm like, yeah, she's right. You know, I'd done Vietnam. I'd done Cambodia, like, before it became developed. Like, I did Cambodia. I did Siem Reap in 2008. I went to Manila 2 years ago. I've seen, like, you know, like, I've seen
I
it
do, yeah.
to a degree. I haven't seen India. Like, that's next level.
I've seen enough, man. You've seen enough.
Siem Reap, Cambodia 2008 is fucked.
I couldn't imagine.
When you've got a baseline like Melbourne.
Yeah.
And so I asked mom when she got back, I said, how's your trip? What do you think? She goes, look, I saw a lot of beautiful things, but my heart broke and I got angry knowing that they had all these beautiful structures and shit like that, mm. and knowing that people died to create them,
mm-hmm.
when the whole country's living in poverty.
Yeah.
She goes, I couldn't get my brain around it.
Yeah.
She goes, I'll never go back, but I'm glad I went because it only makes you appreciate more like what we have here.
100%.
So then I ask you, and she came here when she was in her early 20s and she's in her mid 70s now. So she spent, you know, 50 years here as opposed to 20 in Greece.
Yeah.
So you've done like 2/3 of your life here. How do you remind yourself and how do you see it as far as like, yeah, the whole scope of it?
I have childhood memories of like my house, the house that we lived in and the suburb we were in. And we were in one of the fancier suburbs. We didn't own the house. It was my dad's uncle
yeah.
that went to America and basically passed away shortly after. His kids were awesome. So they were just like, you guys are family. We're not doing anything with this house. You just live here. And we lived in it and it was in one of the nicer suburbs. If Toorak is the best in Melbourne, then we lived in Armidale, right?
Still nice.
Yeah. So
Baghdad, 2000. Baghdad, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a nice life and I don't really like people that go, oh, like, woe is me kind of thing. Be like, oh, I went through some tough times, you know. I don't like that because you saying those things makes you think that you've had a shit life. Even if you have, like, you can still choose to change your perspective on everything that's happened.
It's, dude, that's something I said to myself about, I don't know, a couple of years ago, whenever it was, right? I think it was like 2019, 2020. My mentality just did a 180, and I'm just like everything I've ever gone through, right? I'm like, I can't keep hanging on. Like, I've always said it, nostalgia is a big crutch, and it's a big anchor. And you can sit here and dwell, but it won't change shit. So, you've got to get off the pot and, like, move forward. Otherwise, like, no one's going to fix it for you.
I love nostalgia, don't get me wrong.
Well, this whole room is filled with nostalgia.
Yeah,
dude.
But it's about how you perceive now. If you're constantly looking back and saying it was better than now, that's where it's a problem. Because yeah. then you're ruining now and you're ruining later too.
I agree.
By looking back too much. But you can constantly be looking back and going, that was a great time. Now is a great time. And tomorrow will be a great time. And you can just choose to do that. Even, I mean, you can be in prison and still do that. Your life's still going to suck, but maybe not as bad. Maybe not as bad. You know what I mean?
But you're going to end up in prison for reasons entirely at your own volition.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you get framed like Andy Dufresne or something from Shawshank. Andy Dufresne from Shawshank Redemption.
Tell me. What's the story?
Shawshank. You don't remember the movie Shawshank?
I know Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah. His wife's cheating on him or whatever, so he goes home to shoot him. Yep. He gets drunk, goes through the front door or whatever, but they've already been shot by someone else.
Oh, yeah. It's been a while since I've seen the movie.
I just remember that scene. Because do you know why I remember it? Because I always used to miss the first 10 minutes because I only ever caught it on TV. Yeah. So, I always used to miss it.
You missed it.
Yeah, I always used to see him get sentenced and go straight to prison.
Yeah.
And then one day, I actually caught the start.
Oh, shit.
I'm like, oh, that's why.
That's why he goes to prison.
Yeah.
I digress. Like, unless you're in prison, I don't know what that's like. I don't know what that life is like, whatever. It probably sucks, no matter what.
That's something within your 90 times out of 100, that's probably something within your control of why you ended up in prison.
I guess so. Yeah.
Remove, you know, desperation, you stole a car.
Life choices.
Yeah, but I mean, if you killed someone for whatever reason, like you chose to kill someone. Yeah, does that make sense?
It does. It does. No, I see. I know what you mean. And all I'm saying is, no matter how shit your life was, is, will be, or how good it is, it really is up to you of how you perceive it. Because, like, this is going to sound stupid, but it's kind of true. Like, reality is subjective. There is objective truths. There's objective physics.
Why are you bringing this now, man?
But in terms of your own opinion on how everything's going is subjective. No one can change that for you unless they influence it in some way. And then even then, you can choose to listen or not. That's all I'm saying. So, I can choose to say, yeah, Melbourne's cool, but it's a bit overpopulated. The traffic's a bit shit. the city's just unfucking livable. Like, you know, I don't want to go near it. Love the mountains, but there's all these tourists and all these Afghans sitting in picnic benches. I don't want to be near them. Get me away from these people. You know, like, I can go
system migrant.
Exactly.
From the Middle East.
Exactly. I can go on and just become like fully, like, forget everything that's happened and just like complain. It's recreational complaining. That's what it is. And it feels good. It's like a, it's a bit of a, you get a bit of a hit from complaining. You're like, you ever meet someone that comes up to you and you're like, hey, morning. And you're like, oh, that's their first sound that they make. Oh. And you're like, what the fuck happened?
You just reminded me of Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah.
George was talking about how pity's very underrated. You know what I mean? He likes it. It's good. They pity you. Pity's very underrated. I can see why pity is underrated, but at the same time, I don't want people to pity me.
No.
You know?
No.
I didn't want...
People pity you enough, you will pity yourself.
I remember saying years ago, I said, I don't want pity. I want to be understood.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. I don't even want to be understood. I've let go of that. I have to because...
Most people don't.
I had to. I really had to because I was trying so hard to be understood and I realized, I'm like, oh, it doesn't matter. Because more and more people understood me, and I realized it made no difference.
It doesn't. Yeah, that's actually true.
I was like,
I used to beg for people to understand me, and now I just, once you figure, okay, I think we're going too worldly. I mean,
why not?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't care. I'm going to light up a smoke. Just, I've got them there, break in case of emergency.
Yeah.
That's
why I brought this.
I've got a pack of darts from Greece just sitting there.
Really?
Yeah. Hang on.
What have we got there?
Dude, every time someone comes from Greece, they give me a pack.
Let me have a look.
Oops, sorry there. And I don't even smoke, but everyone brings me a pack.
I love foreign ciggies.
Yeah.
They're just like, they've just got a smell to them that nothing here
does. We'll have one after we're done.
Definitely it just smells like Taylor's. Like, I'm not saying I want to take this box home, but it smells different. There's something different about it.
Every time my neighbor smokes a ciggy, I know that it's another, like, it's somewhere, from somewhere else.
Yeah.
I was just thinking to myself, everything sort of changed for me. It's sort of like what you said, like, nostalgia's nice, you think of, like, whatever, right? Or if you're in a shit time, am I doing better now than I was then, right? Like, you got to reflect.
Yeah.
Most people don't reflect. They just burn.
It's hard to reflect.
They burn, because reflecting means you got to come to some hard truths.
It's hard.
If you're honest.
Yeah.
What percentage of people do you think are honest with themselves about anything?
Not 100% of the time. Definitely not. Like,
so, you know, you make the hard calls, you ask the hard questions to yourself, you reflect, you reevaluate, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? With me, a lot of my mentality changed, like, said things happened, and then it was like, okay, you wanted X, A, B, and C for yourself, right?
Sure.
A, B, and C may not have been fulfilled.
Yep.
But that's not the end. Like, you've got to keep moving forward. You've got to rebuild. You've got to revisit. You've got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
I still wanted to be a functioning member of society. Yep. I still wanted to have some form of a life. It's like, all right, look, you know what? I'm not going to get to play in the NBA.
Sure.
I came to that realization.
Yeah.
Yeah? I wasn't born 6'5".
Yep.
I didn't get into college to play basketball. Like, that's it.
And you accepted it.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's okay.
So, if I can accept that I'm not going to play in the NBA, then I need to accept that A, B, and C is not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to retool. And that's it. And a lot of people don't retool. They get hung up on the idea of...
What's retool?
Retool, man. Like rebuild. Rework. Rejig.
Sure.
Come up with a different strategy moving forward.
Yeah. I see.
I always used to go with, there's no plan B, just make plan A work. You know what I mean?
Because
otherwise, you stray too far from the goal.
Sure.
Some people overcomplicate the goal.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Well, they don't actually realize they're gone. They're thinking of byproducts. It's like,
yeah,
they're not important.
That's true.
Does it make sense?
It does. Yep. Definitely. When you like go, I want $1 million. And it's like, well, you don't actually want $1 million. What you want is to feel safe, and to have good friends,
have comfortable,
to be able to go out
and
not worry about money. But that's just a byproduct.
$1 million isn't going to get you that now.
No.
$1 million is going to get you.
No. You don't have any friends and you're a shit cunt. Sorry. If anything, people will hate you more.
So, if you're coming from Iraq post-war, then all you want is shelter, a safe, you know, living environment, clean water, and know that your money and taxes are going to a reputable government and not something corrupt. So yeah. You don't give a shit about all the byproducts.
Yeah. And I don't even want to know what's going on in the rest of the world. I don't want to hear the news.
Really?
I don't want to know. Yeah. I don't know. It's not that I don't care. It's that when I know that it's out of my control and there's nothing I can do to help, I don't think it serves you to know.
I think it depends on the situation.
Yeah, sure. It does.
Well, there's causes that you and I can clearly be a part of and do something.
Yeah. If I can help, I want to know about it. That's fine. But if I cannot help, there's no way. And it's further away than it affecting me. I don't want to know about it. Not because I don't care, but because we're not designed to care. Like we,
as in human beings?
Yeah.
You reckon?
I think so. I don't think we're designed to cope with the stress of knowing what horrors are happening all around the globe.
I think that, yeah, technology is
very recent.
Technology has progressed to the point where we're finding out things that a human body was not meant to deal with. It's only 200
years ago.
The mind wasn't meant to deal with.
Yeah, it's only 200 years ago that you can, like, send a radio signal that far. Before that, you've got up to 250,000 years.
Dude, GPS was developed in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Hasn't even been perfected yet.
I love it.
But it's very, I mean,
one
it's
of my
very,
favorite inventions.
It is. It's very, very advanced. Dude, I had a Melways in my car, like to get around Melbourne. Do you even know what a Melways is?
Yeah, we had one when we first moved here because GPSs were too expensive.
GPSs were a standalone unit that you put in your car.
Yeah, my old man got $600, I think, $500.
You had to get a nav man installed in your car.
Yeah.
Or a TomTom or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, we eventually got a TomTom when it was cheap enough.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
$300.
But that's what I mean. Yeah. Like, it wasn't just like a thing you had on your phone.
No, phones weren't that advanced at the time.
No, that's been the last 10 years, not the last 20.
Yeah, definitely.
So you don't think humans, where does the caring factor end, though?
What do you mean?
What does it extend to? If we're not designed to care about what's happening on the other side of the world, how far does it go, your caring factor?
This is irrelevant now, but our tribe, whatever that is.
You think your tribe doesn't exist now?
No, it does, but it's too big.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Your tribe is too big. And your tribe is actually all your friends, your family, all the people you interact with on a daily basis. But those people constantly change. Like, you know, like there's a few constants and there's a bunch of satellite people that come in and out based on work, based on going to the shops.
Availability,
Jumping on proximity,
whatever.
Yeah, jumping in an Uber. That guy, you may have never met him before, but now you have. Lives in the same city as you. Is he in your tribe? Yeah, sort of. But the tribe is so big, you can't possibly care about everyone in your tribe.
Or you move from the southeast, you move to the north for whatever reason. You start working in the north.
All of a sudden,
your mate who you saw once a year, you're now seeing him once every 2 weeks.
Exactly. So I think we're designed to care about, and they actually did like proper science to try and measure this. We're designed to care about 300 people.
Okay.
Like, really be invested in what happens to them in their lives, how well they're doing, and also help if they need.
Yeah.
About 300 people. Beyond that, even if you can help, it stresses you out to a point where it starts affecting your life because you can't help. I at least think for myself, I can't help someone if I don't feel so good. And I need to feel good.
I agree with that. There was a guy... When I was like 18, like I got my first job after high school sort of thing. Or maybe I think it was the first job after TAFE because I did like business management for like a year and a half.
Mm.
But I had a year off and I was working full time between like two jobs and then I went and did audio engineering.
Yeah.
And at my first proper adult job with a proper paycheck, guy I used to work with, this old bloke, he said to me, end of the day, you have to look after number one because if you can't look after number one, you're of no use to anyone else.
That's true. Yeah. Yep.
And he was right.
Yep.
He was right. For years, I kept my head low because I thought that's where it deserved to be. Again, people in your tribe. If people are toxic, they're just going to infiltrate your own fucking...
They'll infect the tribe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And in the olden days, you banished them.
Yeah.
And sent them on their way, you know? And I say olden days as in 99% of the history of people. And now, you can't really banish someone.
You can.
You can.
You just drop them from your life.
You drop them from your life, but you can't physically banish them. Like, if they're your neighbor and they're just toxic, you can't just, like, evict them out of will and, like, get together with all the neighbors and maybe, but it's a whole thing.
That's a witch hunt, then.
It's a crazy whole thing. It's not something you regularly do. But if you were in a household and then a housemate is, everyone agrees this person is just, they should get out of here. You can kick him out, sure. But if your house is as big as Melbourne and it gets too complicated, there's too many systems and inner systems and macro and micro, it just gets too much. So what ends up happening is you just learn how to coexist in the bigger society.
Here's a question for you. Coming from the environment you've come from, coming from like the thing that you've grown up in, everything you're doing for yourself now, blah, blah, blah. Are you in the school of, like, you need to consider what other people want and feel and for you before you make an action? Like, typical WOG guilt shit.
Can you explain that?
Literally, WOG guilt.
Yeah, what is that?
You want to, dude, for yourself, you decide you want to move to Dubai with your missus.
Mm-hmm.
Half a dozen mates and relatives come out saying, no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Why not? Oh, because of XYZ factors.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be like, that's great, I'm still moving? Or would you be like taking it into all account?
I'll take it into account.
Full well knowing that this is what you want to do. For you, your missus, whatever reason.
If it's what I want to do and I know for sure that it is a good thing.
I'm just using Dubai
Of course. If I know that it's a good thing and we're in agreement and the people I do care about, the people I do have, in the tribe or whatever. It doesn't exist. It even feels silly saying it.
Yeah.
It's not a tribe. It's just people that you hold close. If they're okay with it, then yes. But if it's just, people that are satellites on the outside, yes.
The fringe players.
If they have an issue, no, I don't
give a shit.
I don't care.
See, the thing is, you can use the word tribe, right? Because we all came from tribes.
Yeah.
Right? But why were these tribes created? Survival. Coexisting, because
we don't need them anymore.
We don't. We actually don't.
But we're designed for them because it's been too long
inbred in our DNA.
Yeah,
I actually had this conversation with someone yesterday, the day before I had dinner with them, and we were talking about one thing. Me and this guy always argue about is religion. All right.
Yes.
Always.
Yeah.
Favorite thing to discuss. Right.
Yeah.
And he was talking about. I mean, if you listen to this or you go back, you figure out I'm pretty anti-religion in general. Mm. He's very pro. And very, like, there's a skewed, like, there's a very cone-like viewpoint on it, right? Mm. And one thing I said to him, which I thought about after, was humans are very short-sighted. Humans have got far too short-sighted to come up with solutions for the universe in our lifetime. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We've only just left that tribalism,
as
a social construct and a way of living. They're trying to force, universal sort of system on us now, on a global community, right?
What do you mean? Oh,
as in,
yep, okay,
we've become globally aware in the last, say, we went online, in 2010, let's just say, right? So for a decade or so, the globalistic view has been fucking like put into a pressure cooker to bring us all up to speed with what's going on in Ghana, what's going on in Somalia, what's going on in American politics, to a degree where you've got people here on YouTube in Australia doing, critical analysis of laws in America.
Yeah.
They don't know shit about what's going on in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
But they're doing talk back about things in America, as an example.
Yeah, yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah.
But we haven't, that tribalism's still in our DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And
I do.
He was talking about, like, long-term solutions, long-term, like, end goals for social construct, for religion, for politics, all this sort of stuff.
What do you mean long-term end goals?
As in, like, this is where we should be going. This is what we should be doing. These are the solutions for the problem.
Okay.
Whatever the issue like is that we're discussing, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's not just Tim. It's a few people that I have these talks to.
Sure.
And this is when I said to him, humans are too short-sighted to come up with the end goal or the end solution when we've only just come out of tribalism like a couple hundred years ago.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Especially in Australia, dude. They came here, the colonies came here 200 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Colonies, 250 years ago.
Yeah.
They sent convicts.
It's a brand new country.
They sent convicts here to establish a new society.
It's a brand new country. The box is still out back. It hasn't even been thrown out yet.
The warranty's still there.
Fucking receipt, man.
Yeah, man.
It's on its dining table.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when I say humans are too short-sighted, it's like, this isn't going to get solved in our lifetime.
No.
We're not going to come, whatever solution we have, say me and you sit here all night with Red Bull and DMT, right?
DMT.
Literally, right? All night. And we've got, you know, the Prodigy, Fat of the Land, just playing on loop.
Yeah, I don't think we'll get very far.
just drawing Venn diagrams and shit, right?
We'll come out with some shapes.
Maybe a cool fashion label or something Kanye West will do. But the point is like, we could sit here all night in a think tank with five other intellectuals, and whatever we come up with as a solution isn't going to get implemented tomorrow. It's not going to get implemented. It might get looked at on the bare fringe of, like, society by people we know, people that are going to listen.
I think that's the main thing. You first said we can't come up with it, but then you said can't implement it.
Yeah.
I think that's the main
thing. We could.
We can come up with it. We can definitely come up with it.
We could come up with the ideas.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. We could come up with the creed.
Executing and implementing.
Executing it? Shit.
Because of human nature. And human nature kind of dissolves and goes awry, if you want to put it that
what
way.
What a word. What a word,
when
bro.
When you extend it beyond.
Awry.
Only because I like awry. Shout out awry helmets. But yeah, no, it dissolves and it becomes obsolete almost once you expand it out to a large enough group. And I think that group is bigger than just a tribe, because the chief of the tribe or whatever he is, you know, with the feathers, he can sit there, smoke a bong or whatever they used to do. Well, I don't know why I'm going Native American, but, you know, it's just what it is. He can be like, all right, this is how we can work it out. The women will do this, the children will do this, the men will do this, and then the men will divide them up in this, and then this is how we live, this is how we're going to be to it. Yeah, whatever. They can figure it out.
Yeah.
And you could probably get, like, 50 people to stick to that for, like, a while.
You get a charismatic leader, you can do anything, man.
You could probably get, like, 300, maybe, to stick to it.
Yeah.
3 million? 3 billion? 8 billion? It's not... The information moves too slowly between people. And even with the internet, people disagree, and we know this. And
really?
Yeah.
The internet was a community of, like, harmony. And
I thought we were just going to be living it up by now.
Nothing but thumbs ups on every line.
I thought everyone's going to have likes. And no post will go unshared. So...
It's in legislation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's how far we'll get. But no, like, I think it's just that some people I spoke to, they like to think or put reasons to why things aren't so good or why things aren't working or whatever. But I feel like they go too complicated with the reason.
Like, give me an example.
They go, oh, the reason people can't just be nice to each other is because this person, they grew up different. And this person, they're from a different place. And this person, they had money. It's like, that's overcomplicating things. It's all about how big is your tribe. Because people can agree up to a certain size because they love each other. There's a connection. Beyond that, you go, why the fuck should I do that? I don't know this person. Why should I not just look after myself and my immediate people?
Mm.
And it becomes tribalism. That's what it is. But if you distance those two tribes away physically by enough distance, they'll live independent of each other and never really know about each other, i.e. the other side of the world. You put the internet and then people now know about each other, and they've got even more of a tool to catastrophize, hate on other people, but also learn and educate themselves.
I always 100%. I always sort of crack the shits when someone says that Facebook ruined a relationship, money ruined a family. You know, like, no, it wasn't Facebook. It wasn't money. It was the individual behind the fucking motive and the action.
I think so. Yeah.
You know what I mean? If they were a cunt before the money came along, then they're going to
push them.
Yeah,
can push them beyond what they could handle, and they.
But the motive was always there in the individual.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The trait is always there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like, you could have been with this person on a deserted island.
Mm.
If a care package came with five apples in it and a Twinkie, you're going to wake up.
Twinkie.
Yeah. You'll wake up the next day. It's like, what happened to the care package?
Yeah.
Oh, It went away.
Yeah.
But they've clearly, like, eaten three
of the
claws.
Especially if it's near my tent. The bear got to it.
The bear. Yeah. We're on a deserted island.
Yeah, yeah,
in the middle of the Pacific. There's a bear.
Yeah, you start a rumor immediately. It's day two. Immediately.
And there's no one else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Two. Immediately, you're lying to them. So, yeah, no, I don't, like, sit there and go, why are people blah, blah, blah. I know, like, it makes sense. It's not that difficult to understand, at least to me. Like,
yeah.
Maybe I'm just dumb and I'm, like, simplifying things too much, but
it wouldn't be naivete.
Huh?
Yeah, it's not because you're naive.
Yeah, no, I don't think I am, because the older I'm getting, the more I'm like, yeah, this way of thinking, it's checking out. Like, it makes sense. And the more people I meet, the different types of people I meet, it still amazes me, but I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you know, like, people are so different. But then the core thought of, like, oh, yeah, like, we're not supposed to know too much about what's the people outside of us. The internet has brought on the ability to learn pretty much anything, which is awesome. I love that, because I like to know things.
Yeah, dude, I love the internet for that.
I love the internet, right?
Yeah.
But in terms of social media, I see the allure, maybe, but I don't really get why people give a shit about what other people are doing. I'll be honest. Like, I'm saying this with true, like, I'm not talking shit.
No.
Because it sounds like a thing that people just say, but I really, I would think that people will, after a few days of being on social media, go, nah, don't give a shit. Like, you know, like, it to me, it's a natural thought to get to. But it amazes me that so many people are not.
Let me ask you a question. Are you busy? Are you a busy person?
Not at all.
Why?
I like to be as lazy as possible.
When you say lazy, what does that entail?
I like to do as much of nothing as I can.
When you say nothing, do you mean literally on the couch with your hand down like your pants watching TV?
Kinda. Kinda. But also, like, you know, standing out in the garden, just facing a wall.
Washing down the concrete.
Yeah.
Warming, living the migrant dream.
Yeah, waiting for the barbecue to heat up because I've got a steak inside.
Like, but that keeps you content, right?
Yeah, 100%.
I think that's what it is, okay? Because you've described it as being lazy, but you're content in that laziness. You're doing what you want to do. That is washing... hosing down the driveway.
Yeah.
Watching the tomatoes grow and, like, yeah, waiting for the Barbie to fire up, right? Yeah. That's content in your head. People that doom scroll,
yeah, right,
looking at Facey, not even doom scrolling on TikTok looking for just endorphin hits, but looking at Facey and exploring, you know, people's lives, got nothing else to do.
I catch myself. Like, if someone says to me, hey, I tagged you in this, check it out, I'll jump on, I'll look at it, and then I'll catch myself, like, a minute later.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I'm just looking at random shit now. And I'll be like, bleh. And I'll snap
I've
out done of that. It.
Dude, I've not been on Facey, as in my personal account. I've got business accounts, got an account for the pod, whatever.
Yeah.
But my personal account's been shut down for
like a bit. Like and subscribe.
Through bated breath. Like and subscribe. It's been shut down for over a decade now, right?
Yeah.
I don't have anyone on my Facey account for the podcast. I've got like three people. That's it.
Oh, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
I don't accept nothing. I don't even check it.
Right? Yeah.
It's purely there for the algorithm. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't, every now and then, like every 6 months, whatever, some name will trigger in my head and I'm like, I'll go suss them out on Facey.
Mm, yeah.
And then I find myself doom scrolling.
Yeah.
And getting angry. And I was like, what am I doing? I don't give a shit about these people. Dude, my mum last week, she said to me, do you remember such and such from, you know, school? I went, no. It's like, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Why? Oh, there was a death in the family or something, some extended relative. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know who that is. Yeah. Well, what do you mean? And I go, ma, and I said it to her, ma, I've cut out everyone from high school.
Everyone?
Everyone, bar two, three people
that
I talked to, like, regularly enough, like one of the boys on this pod I talk to, like, you know, regularly. Yeah. But there's only a couple other select people that I still keep in touch with, right? Because for me, high school was pretty traumatic. I wanted to get rid of that. It took me a decade to get past it. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's all it's traumatic to everyone in their own way too. Like,
but I was done with it.
Yeah.
And dude, since high school, right? Once I moved out of the hood, once I moved out from Clayton, I went to Noble Park.
Hood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went from the hood to the ghetto, and then from there I left, right, and went Bayside, and I started venturing to where I want to be now, right?
Sure, yeah.
Dude, this whole area was dead to me, right? I'm not criticizing the area because I came from here, right?
Yeah.
Once you remove yourself from the bubble and the vacuum,
mm-hmm.
you start setting different goalposts for yourself.
Sure.
Okay? But that tribe that you're talking about, that community, that village, I wanted out.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look back at it now, in the, every 8 months, when I get on a facey and just doom scroll at 4 a.m. because I thought of something or someone.
Yeah.
I'm seeing the same names. I'm seeing the same faces.
Yeah.
Same haircuts. Same friendship groups. Incestuous as fuck. Like, everyone married within
yeah.
the tribe, you know?
Yeah.
Never left the village. Mm-hmm. Didn't go past the walls. I'm like, fuck this. Mm. What kind of life experience are we talking here? How many different people do they actually know to get a bit of perspective? Perspective. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
If that's what makes you happy, I'm not going to criticize it, but generally, they're the complainy types.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Generally.
Generally. They're the complainy types because they set their targets and their goalposts within the parameters of that village.
Yeah.
They don't see outside the walls,
nah.
but they want it better than what they see on TV.
Yeah. I honestly didn't think, like, on TV, while you mentioned that, I didn't expect for reality TV to take off.
Oh, dude, I was there, man. like
I know it sounds like a stupid thought because it's super popular.
Hang on, man. Hang on. I was in like year 10 or something when Big Brother came out, the first one.
Yeah.
All right. I was like year 10, year 11, somewhere there. I watched the first Big Brother religiously because
I liked it. Yeah.
It was a phenom. Like,
I liked it.
No one had ever seen it here.
Yep.
Insane. I watched it.
Ginger Ninja. Enjoyed it. Had a great time. Friday Night Games. That was sick.
Got over that.
Yeah.
Second season comes out. I was already knee deep into music and stuff by that point. I was busy. I'd stopped watching TV. I think I watched one episode or two.
Yeah.
But I'm like, what am I doing? It's a waste of my fucking time. I have other things to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's what I thought everyone would do, I'll be honest.
But that's what I'm saying, man. Like, the fact that when you say that you do everything to be genuinely lazy, but even your laziness has motive, has something that keeps you content.
Yeah.
You're constantly going to be comparing yourself to the Joneses, you know, grass is greener. There's 100 other things we could say, like, you know.
The grass is always greener.
Blah, 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 right? Yeah. Dude, these people that are just stuck on socials or stuck at within their four walls never see beyond it.
Yeah.
You've come from beyond that wall, so you know about it. That's why you're secluding yourself, but you're happy and you're content.
I don't see the draw. That's the thing. It doesn't take much energy for me to ignore it. That's the thing.
Because you're you. Not everyone's the same, man.
Yeah, I've learned that over time.
There are people that I grew up with, man, in the same houses, same backyard, same family, same schools.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them died from OD. Some of them went to jail. You know, like,
yeah.
This is the area.
That was a hard truth to learn.
I never went to jail. I never did hard drugs.
No?
No.
Why not?
So I look at it, yeah.
I'm just, you just made it sound good.
No, glamorizing it.
Yeah. No,
from the streets, man. Yeah.
From the hood. What? I just, it doesn't take much energy for me to ignore it because it doesn't seem that interesting.
To you?
To me, and like throughout my life, even up until now, I am still learning. I'm in the process of learning this fact that people are different to me. I think everyone is sort of in the same sort of thing. It's a hard truth to learn. Look,
everyone's different, but then you got that tribe mentality.
Yeah.
Right? People want to belong to a tribe because it's acceptance and it's safety.
Yep.
If you were accepted by a tribe, then you were safe.
Yes.
Because there's strength in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know, the bears stayed out of the big cities because there's too many fucking people that they were scared of. Too many things.
Loud noises.
Yeah, exactly. But if you're in a mud hut on your own, bear's going to take your shit every night.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
I get it. It's not a bad thing for people to want to belong or whatever. But, like, I feel like the older I've gotten, I'm not that old. But the older I'm
getting... The oldest 28-year-old in the world.
Yeah, I know. The older I'm getting, the more I'm realizing that, like...
It's all downhill from 28, man. Trust me.
Oh, no, I think it's gotten better over time because I'm less confused.
It does.
Like, I'm... The more I know, the more I realize I don't know. But I'm less confused.
You're open to learning.
Yeah.
Do you know how many people aren't open to learning?
It's hard.
Or don't actually give a shit to learn anything.
It has to be fun, I think. I think that's the main thing.
The spoon with the food.
It has to be fun. Yeah. I think my goal in life is not to do anything but just make sure that I have fun and that everyone I like around me and love has a good time. Honestly. Like, I really water it down to that level because beyond that, I think it's all just, like, clothes and bullshit that you dress it up in.
I try to stay away from venturing onto, like, cliche, like, yeah, cliches, basically, you know?
Yeah, it is a cliche, because, but it's like...
Dude, every day someone will get on fucking Instagram or whatever and put up a story about how they're rejecting materialism and they're embracing spirituality. I love
materials.
But that's the thing. It's like, fuck off, dickhead. You've got a material phone in your hand.
I love my phone, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to get another one, you know? I've nothing. I really want an OLED TV. You know, like I'm all about materials. I think material's great, but like don't mistake the material for yourself. Like don't
lose yourself in material possessions.
Yeah, don't think that you are the things you own because you will not take anything.
But here's the kicker, right? You get the people, like, especially now, like say with the Palestine situation, right?
Yeah,
people will spend all day, every day. People that, dude, when the war kicked off. First, it was Ukraine, right? And then people were focused on that, just retweeting shit. Now, they're focused on Palestine.
Yeah.
It's constant. I don't care whose side you're on.
Mm.
It's just constant. And it's feeds of people that you'd never have put as a political pundit, ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
They found a purpose.
They found their purpose of retweeting stories on Insta, and it's constant.
It's only constant if you look at it.
I know.
I think.
But this is what they're... Like, dude, to retweet this shit takes time.
Yeah, it does.
For every fucking second that I have to see it on my phone, they're actually sitting there resharing shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me wonder, do they actually watch this shit in full? Do they actually have some context? Whichever side you're on. And you look at these people objectively, like, you take a step back, say, okay, who are these people? They're not political science majors. They never gave a shit about the news. But now, because this is out there, they feel like they're doing something, right?
They have the tools to be able to reach people.
Exactly, right? They think they're reaching people. But then, in the same breath, if I ever run into people like this, it's like, well, do you care about Kony anymore?
Who?
Kony. The guy in fucking... Where is he? Liberia? Where is he now? Liberia? Come what country it was.
Who is Kony? It sounds familiar.
You were a child. It was 2012. 2010 or 2011?
It sounds familiar. Was he some African leader or some shit?
He ran like a rebel cult.
Oh, it sounds familiar.
Child soldiers. Women slaves, all that sort of shit. Genocide.
Yeah.
He went viral overnight. He was the first viral thing outside of Paris Hilton's sex tape.
I remember that.
good times.
I never watched
that. That needs to be in the showreel of humanity. You know what I mean?
I don't think I've ever watched it, actually.
Paris Hilton?
Yeah, I think I started watching it and I got bored because I didn't understand what it was. This is before I knew what porn was. Because, like, the start of it is just, like, her, like, walking around some hotel room or something.
Yeah, it's Rick Solomon.
Who is it?
Rick Solomon was the guy.
And what does she do in the video? Does she just strip?
She blows him.
Oh, really? Didn't get that far.
Yeah.
Amazingly, this is before I knew how to scroll.
The technology wasn't around yet. Just get buffering. You know what I mean?
I think I was too young. I was like, what the fuck is this shit?
If you hit further in the video, just buff it into infinity and it was done.
Yeah, it was too dark. Yeah. My internet was too slow. It was just, I was like, I'm out.
Dial up just going into red.
Yeah, I'm out. I can't. I'm not interested.
it's all good. But, like, I bring up Kony all the time because he went super viral. Everyone was giving a shit.
Now no one gives
And then
a
the
shit.
Guy that made the video... That went viral. He went nuts. They caught him flogging himself naked on like the streets of California somewhere, right? Whether they got to him or he just went mad with power, one of the two, right? And then we forgot about Kony. And every 6 months there'd be something, you know. And it's like, okay, you give a shit about Ukraine right now. You give a shit about Palestine. Cool. What about the kids that are in Sarajevo still getting recruited? You know, in street gangs. What about? There's 100,000 atrocities going on around the world.
Yeah.
24/7.
I'm sure.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Every culture on the planet has got some historical fucking genocide or atrocity or something linked to it. You know, some war, some famine, whatever it is. Do you give a shit about that? No.
But there is people, I'll play devil's advocate, I don't actually think like this, but I've heard this argument where like, sure, there's other things, but can we just care about this? Like, it is important, and then let's get the other things.
But there were things that, and this is the thing, there were things that came before it that haven't been addressed.
Yeah, we'll address those too.
But this is getting me likes right now.
Yes. Yeah, it's getting me likes. Do you like it or not?